Well, there was a reason for putting them up there. It piques curiosity. That's right. It worked. So, did any of you use this morning? You don't have to raise your hands. Okay, let's begin this morning by looking at toothpaste. Toothpaste, what does that have to do with our sermon today? Well, I might just give you a little glimpse, maybe you'll understand. The road to renewal, transformed or squeezed. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So, this tube of toothpaste is something that we use, and if there's 30 some people here this morning, there's 30 ways to get this toothpaste out of the tube. Some of you here are squeezers, and some of you are rollers. And you know, it's amazing what little things in life can affect a marriage. Or toilet paper, the way it's rolled on the roll, how you dispense it and stuff. Those things are amazing, how they give a place for marital counseling. But we're not going that way this morning. So, you know, when you get this toothpaste and you squeeze it, you see that this toothpaste is being influenced by me on the outside. See? See, you squeeze that and you look at that. See how that's being conformed to what I do to it? And I think Joanne has a story sometimes that she says about putting it out, and now you put it back in. Well, we're not doing that either. That doesn't work. So this toothpaste is being influenced by the pressure that I exert on it. And if I keep squeezing and squeezing because I'm too frugal, I will not waste all of it this morning and empty the tube, because that's what will happen. I'll have an empty tube because of the pressures from the outside on this tube. I'll have it empty after a while. However, what about this? This is a balloon. What do we think about this? Well, are you getting scared? Okay, this object is a balloon. You know that. I know those children out there would like to have some fun with this. But you see, this balloon is influenced from the inside out. You see this balloon? It's pretty flat, limp, not any shape to it, doesn't have any support. But when I blow air into here, it gives it a shape, right? So, if I leave the air out of here, we'll be back to this same shape again. But it will hold the shape as long as there's air inside. But when I leave it go, it'll fly wherever it wants to, and it's empty. Just like this tube is empty. This tube is affected from the outside influences and pressures. That balloon is influenced by what comes from the inside. Somebody has a scripture to read from 2 Corinthians 3, 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 to 18.
But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Okay, then we have a scripture from Romans 12, 1 through 9.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good.
Thank you for reading those scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a transition to the last major segment of the book of Romans. Prior to this, we have the doctrinal foundation for the Christian life in the chapters 1 through 11. And it's been laid down in these. It's described as the amazing grace, the mercy of God that meets our brokenness, sin, and forgives, restores, renews our relationship with God and with each other. As we look at these chapters now from 12 through the end of the book, we see Paul lays out our faith and doctrine and shows us how to demonstrate that in your life and in my life each and every day. It's not just today, not Sunday. I think I heard something before about that this morning. But it's more about each and every day of our lives. In these verses, we're introduced to the attitudes and actions which set the Christian apart from the people of the world in which we live. Are you different? Are you different this morning? Or are you the same as everybody in the world? Are you a peculiar people? Do you like being called a peculiar person? But that's what the scriptures say. We're a peculiar people. Yes, that is what is said. Remember these truths God intends for us to put to practice. We always talk about a doctor practices. Well, we as Christians are to practice. We're to practice, to put these things in practice. These truths are not to be filed away in the back of some drawer in your mind. These are supposed to be in the front part, the active part, not something that's not used, filed away in the back drawer of your mind. We need to live them out in our daily walk with the Spirit. In our daily walk with the Spirit, we need to carry them out. And you know, in these verses that from Romans, it calls us to commitment. It calls us to a whole new way of thinking. A whole new way of behaving, a new way of loving and living in our lives. And this all takes place when the transforming work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit interacts with us. There's an interaction takes place. We have a conscience. We have a soul. We have something that the animals don't have. You and I have a soul. We have a conscience. And we know what that conscience is inside of each one of us from our littlest days of growing up. It's amazing. Our conscience is activated. And we know what is right and what is wrong, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And we need to be aware of that and use that in our lives. And, well, why not talk about transforming since I've been thinking of it for about 2 years, so I said, here's a sermon again on transformation from Romans 12, as was our theme for a conference was transformed into his image. When you think of a transformer, I also think of a transformer that children play with. You have a box, and it has a whole lot of pieces in. And you can take those pieces and put them together and make a transformer into all kinds of shapes and sizes. Or you can take a piece of clay and put it on the potter's wheel, and you can shape that clay. One of our exchange student, her teacher was a potter over toward, not Penryn, past that yet. I can't think of the name of the town. But he has a pottery place, and that pottery, to watch a potter on a wheel take that and shape that. How are you and I doing on God's potter wheel? Do we like the shape he's making? Do we like the knives molding and shaping into our lives to what we should become? The word transformation is a transformer that's out on our electric poles. There's a transformer out there in our pole, and what for electricity is flying into that thing? The electricity coming into that is very, very great. But we need a transformer on the pole to bring it down to the volts that we need in our houses. It's a change taking place there. And all that power is coming from some place that's being generated. And you and I as Christians also need to be plugged in to the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. The word transformation means a complete or major change in someone or something's appearance or form. Now, what does it mean for you and I as a Christian? Does it mean that we need to clean up our act? Does it mean change your behavior? Does it mean to be more Christ-like? Live by a new set of rules and regulations? Well, in a closer look at these verses, transformation means something different from the ones that are mentioned above. In the original Greek, the language of the New Testament, the word used for transformation is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis means a profound change in form from one stage to another, to the next in the life history of an organism, such as the caterpillar. Yeah, caterpillar to the pupa to the adult butterfly. Although an outward change in appearance or form takes place, the change comes from the inside out. It's that DNA that is in that caterpillar that's going to be changing then to a butterfly. It's in the DNA. The caterpillar is born, the life cause it becomes that butterfly. As long as that it eats, it metabolizes, takes in nutrients, it consumes, assimilates them into the caterpillar and causes it to grow. Now, a caterpillar changing into a butterfly is an excellent picture of what we see as the Bible speaks concerning transforming of the believer into the image of Christ. When we pray to receive Christ, and as I talk about this morning, you may have to think back further for some of us than others on this journey of being a Christian. We pray to receive Christ as our Savior. We were regenerated or reborn with God's life to become children of God. We were reborn with the divine DNA of God, the divine DNA of God within us. Like the caterpillar, we have to stay in the process of transformation by continuing to eat. John 6:35 says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall by no means hunger, and he who believes in me shall by no means ever thirst. Wow. Think about some of those hot days this summer. We were working hard, and boy, we just needed some water. We needed some drink. And I think of that in light of when we were on the farm, and you were out loading hay, and you knew you weren't going to get any drink till the next wagon, empty wagon came out and stuff. And boy, you were so thirsty for some water. How good it would have been to have some water. But here it means that you never thirst. The Lord wants us to take Him as spiritual food. If we want to grow and change, we need to also eat. We need to eat. How are you and I spiritually looking as a framework of our spiritual lives? Are we little? Are we stunted? How is our spiritual body look like? Are we continuing to daily partake? Or what was the children's story about excuses? When you were saying that, I had to think, well, I think this one here, the adults could identify with probably better than the children, but the children could identify with it too. But we as adults, we know pretty many of the excuses there is. There aren't many excuses, and if you talk to somebody else about that, what are the things that keep you from having some time with God? What keeps you from praying? It's amazing how somebody else can tell you some other ones maybe that you don't have, of things that you use for excuses. And you know, I think God probably listens to all those excuses and says, oh, there's another one again? I've heard that one before. You know, and you and I, as individuals, we know those excuses in our own lives. We know what we say or do or don't in our lives. So if we want to grow, we need to be partaking. Some of the caterpillars, this is interesting, some caterpillars eat only one kind of leaf their whole existence. Wouldn't be much need for you, Chris. Wouldn't need the variety. You need one kind of leaf. Well, so we, in the same way, we as believers also are meant to eat one kind of spiritual food throughout our lives. That is Jesus Christ, His life. When we eat and drink of Him, we're supplied with His life for our Christian life, and we grow with that life. As we grow, we're in process of being transformed from one degree of glory to another. There's a song that goes, little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. How are we doing at that? Is there some change taking place? Sometimes, you know, if we look too far and we see all the things that we need to do or accomplish or be like, and we look too far ahead, we say, oh, that's way too big a goal. It's too far to go. But if we come back and take a little thing at a time, we can gradually put more time into our daily walk with the Lord. Put more time in being more spiritually fit for the kingdom. Little by little, He's changing me. Jesus is changing me. He changed me. Since I made the turnabout face, I'm growing in His grace. I'm not the same person that I used to be. Well, it's been slow going, but there's knowing that someday perfect I will be. By taking in Christ as our food, more of His Spirit is added to us, and we assimilate that into us. We undergo the transformation that isn't merely the outward change, but it's the change from the inside that makes it. It's the Holy Spirit growing in you and I to become more spiritually fit for the kingdom. Whether we be at home or work, at school, wherever it is, what is affecting our lives, the outward change comes. Okay, We undergo a transformation that is not merely an outward change, but one that comes from being spiritually nourished, the life of God operating in us. God is on the throne of our life. Is God on the throne of your life? Or are you putting other things on the throne of your life that affect what happens on your inside spiritually? I recently heard a person, well, Anna, our foster daughter's mom, just accepted the Lord into her life. Hallelujah. And Anna said, she just looks different. She just looks different. And she just talks different. I mean, hallelujah. That's been a prayer for a long time and will continue to be a prayer. But just to, I was preparing to preach this sermon and I just heard this from her and I thought, wow, that's exciting. Just to hear Anna say that about her mom. I mean, that was just, wow, that's exciting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, the butterfly started as a caterpillar that was ugly, fuzzy, and crawling to move around. The only thing I can think sometimes about a caterpillar is that people say, hey, what color is a caterpillar? What's the winter going to be like? Is it going to be dark at both ends and light in the middle? Or some people say that's how you tell what the winter's going to be like. Has another side light. The caterpillar gets into its cocoon, and it hangs on at one point and forms a chrysalis. Then the Creator God causes a chemical change to take place in that old DNA, and then the new DNA takes place inside. And the process is a struggle for that butterfly. However, that struggle is so very, very, very important to that butterfly. If that butterfly doesn't struggle, he will not be able to fly. You know, there's people that have done experiments, and they've taken that butterfly when it's coming out of its chrysalis and took some of that shell away, I call it, chrysalis, whatever, and you know that butterfly couldn't function because it didn't develop the way Creator God wanted to develop. So, do you and I have any struggles in our life right now? What are those struggles for? Today, are they for to develop us? To help us to be more like Him? I believe they are. I believe they are. But it emerges from that chrysalis as a beautiful, magnificent butterfly. That's a miracle. That's a miracle how that takes place. Ready to fly to new heights and places and just do their thing as a butterfly. We had flowers at our garden this year. A whole two rows of them were there. It's amazing how many butterflies we attracted this year. And, you know, thinking about this theme that we had, the cross and the butterfly, I saw more butterflies, I think, this year than I have ever. And I saw one day when I was working someplace. Here was a butterfly sitting on a yellow butterfly hanging on a brick, red brick wall. It just stood out in that wall. And I, you know what? You and I need to be standing out for Jesus. We need to be bold for Jesus in no matter way. I just yesterday spoke with a lady that's been in Haiti recently. She was there while the storms were going on. And you know, we need to continue to pray for those countries and give as we need and can. Some of the things that are taking place there, the miracles as well as the challenges, we need to be part of praying for them. I had to work in her house because she had a water heater leak while she was in Haiti. Now she said, Glenn, just fix it up as quick as you can, or just so it's taken care of. But the water had come out and made a hole 5 foot by 5 and then a triangle that was all rotten. I couldn't avoid it. I had to tear it out. Now, transformation comes in because I tore that out 2 weeks ago, Friday. And I didn't mask up that day. And there were those stuff in that particle board. And I came home from that, and I had a breathing. It was sort of tightness in my chest. And I'm starting, like 2 days ago, I started to get in that full relief that my lungs are coming back again. They're being transformed by God's way He has built our bodies to transform our lungs. And realizing that I need to mask up every time. You know, I say that. But sometimes then I come in for a period of time and I don't do it. So the effects of it. So I fix her floor up. She said, I just came back from Haiti. And she said, those people hardly have anything. And I have so much. She said, I want to support a family down there that needs a roof in their house. And she said, I don't want to spend more than I have to here. Well, what we were spending was not a lot of money, but it had to be fixed to make it right. And she said, well, go ahead. But she just has a heart for those people. She's also a lady who goes to prison by choice. She visits in Lancaster prison very frequently to tell people about Jesus. Okay, the cross is central to the Christian faith. In the cross is revealed the character of God. We see God's transforming work took place through His Son Jesus Christ, and we know that. We know that Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and being placed in the tomb was not the whole story, because we knew Friday was here, but Sunday was coming. On that resurrection morning, the new life came forth, celebrating victory over death. Jesus came so that we could have life, and that we could have life, what? Abundant in Him. How are you doing at having the abundant life in your walk these days? We see these verses. Paul gives us two options. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To live abundantly, you must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself became what? An example for us. He served all. He saved all by going to Calvary. He was obedient. And it says here about presenting your bodies. Presenting your bodies is a volitional thing. The power to choose, the act of making a choice. It's a volitional will to surrender to the perfect will of God. Presenting our bodies, God must be in control of the whole man. And we know that Paul was an example, even though he was in the Roman prison. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed. Don't be squeezed. What areas are you being squeezed right now that's being having an effect on your life? Changed by the power of God, so you no longer conform to the world, but conform to the perfect will of God. Paul says, let God mold our minds from the inside out. Let us allow the Spirit of God to reshape and reform our lives. Attitudes, convictions, values from the inside out. So our lives are an expression of the good and perfect, loving and life-giving will of God. The gospel is about inner transformation from the inside out by the power of the Spirit of God. Like the butterfly, we emerge out of our complex struggles and circumstances when we commit to Christ's love and empowerment. We continue to shed impure thoughts, unkind words, all manner of wrongdoing, which are not becoming to the follower of Jesus. We have new desires, new hopes, and a future complete with the purpose from our Creator. We learn to shed what is part of the old and put on what is part of the new. Let us choose to continue in the transforming power of God, in whose image we are made, as we spread the love and grace of God in our lives, in our families, in our churches, and in the communities that we interact with this coming week. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, we come knowing that as your children, you have called us to be those people who would let their light shine for you. Knowing, Lord God, that your Spirit working in our lives is what molds us and shapes us. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail to want to be molded and where we want to be shaped into what your will is for our lives. Strengthen us this week as we go forth to be your witnesses and your ambassadors into each of the people that we meet this week. I pray for a Holy Spirit anointing upon us as we go this week and the people that come into our lives. Prepare us to be the transformed people, telling the good news of Jesus Christ as we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.